ktokoľvek môže za mnou prísť a porozprávať mi niečo, že prečo sa ja stretávam s ruským prezidentom Putinom a prečo by som sa s ním nemal stretnúť. Ja sa stretnem s Putinom, predtým ma všetci kritizujú a keď sa vrátim po stretnutí s Putinom, tak sa ma všetci na toaletách v Bruseli pýtajú, že čo povedal. Tak hrdinovia, prečo teda nejdú a nekomunikujú tiež s ním? Veď my sa musíme baviť s tými ľuďmi. A preto my vsádzame na komunikáciu so všetkými.
This is my video update on this Friday afternoon, May the 1st, coming to you from Limassol, Cyprus. Let's talk about some news. And let's start things off today with another strike into the Russian oil refinery at Tuapse. This is the fourth drone strike into Tuapse, which is on the Black Sea. In about a week and a half, we've had, or 2 weeks, we've had four Ukrainian drone strikes into this oil refinery. And this latest drone strike follows up on a phone call between Trump and Putin, where Iran was discussed, certain warnings were given out, Project Ukraine was discussed, and following up on that phone call, or the announcement of the phone call that had taken place, we get another Ukrainian strike into Tuapse. We also had a Ukrainian attack, where they tried to attack the Crimean Bridge as well. And the Kerch Bridge, my understanding is that it had to shut down for a bit. No damage was done. Everything is fine, but they had to close it up for a couple of hours just to make sure. Naval drones trying to take out the Kerch Bridge. So Putin has to get on top of this. Russia has to get on top of these strikes. It's becoming very embarrassing. Every day or two, we're getting attacks into Tuapse. And now we even have strikes into the Kerch Bridge, Tuapse 4.0, the oil refinery and marine terminal have just been attacked, and the attack continues. At least two tanks at the oil refinery caught fire. Authorities confirmed a drone attack on the marine terminal. The facility was knocked out and the city experienced a power outage. Russia still doesn't want to fight Ukraine. Russia complains to Trump about Europe and Zelensky. So I think that's a good summary of what happened in Tuapse, especially the last line, where it says that that Putin is complaining to Trump about Zelensky and about Europe and how they continue to escalate. And at least the United States and Trump are listening to our interests. They take our interests into account, so at least we can talk to them. But everyone knows that these strikes into the Russian Federation, the internationally recognized Russian Federation, would never be able to happen without the targeting of the United States, the help and targeting of the U.S. military. And the conversation between Trump and Putin was, at least with Project Ukraine, was about Zelensky and how Zelensky just doesn't seem to want to agree to some sort of a negotiated settlement. That's what Trump and Putin both concluded. Just looks bad. It looks really, really bad for Russia and for Putin when stuff like this happens, especially right after you have these phone calls and these conversations and there's some sort of an understanding or an agreement reached between both sides. And then you get the attacks into the Russian Federation. Anyway, That is an update with what is going on there. And sticking with Project Ukraine, we have a release of some more Mindich recordings. Remember the whole Mindich scandal? Zelensky's best buddy, who got caught up in $100 million energy scandal. $100 million. That's a whole lot of money for all of us, but for Le Goblin Vert, it's like a cup of coffee. $100 million doesn't get up out of bed for $1 billion, let alone $100 million. But anyway, we had the Mindich scandal, which happened 6 months ago, I want to say. Mindich has disappeared. No one knows where Mindich is. We know where Mindich is. But anyway, he has not been caught, captured, or brought to justice. Nor will he ever. But we got some more material published on that scandal. And it goes far beyond just an energy grift, an energy corruption scandal. It is now zeroing in on the much admired, heralded Ukraine Uber super duper drone manufacturing company known as FirePoint. Allegedly, Mindich was speaking with the defense minister at the time. No longer is he defense minister, but he was, Mr. Rustam Umarov, who is now the national security advisor, or his new position is something like that, National Security Council. And they were speaking and talking about making money off of military manufacturing. FirePoint. I believe that Mike Pompeo is on the advisory board or super duper advisory board or something. Yes, some sort of advisory position, or he had some sort of an advisory position with FirePoint, which was some sort of an entertainment agency. And then it pivoted into a drone manufacturing company because there's a natural fit, right, between entertainment and manufacturing drones. It's an easy pivot and segue. But let me read you what is going on. The newly published materials, among other things, suggested that Mindich was effectively running the Ukrainian weapons manufacturing company FirePoint. The transcripts are reportedly of a conversation between the businessman and then Defense Minister Umerov, who currently heads Ukraine's National Security Council. On the tapes, Mindich pressed Umerov for additional funding and discussed proposals from a UAE investor, as well as now shareholders could get $300 million in cash. Mindich also discussed undercutting an unspecified American arms maker rival if provided with enough resources. Do not undercut the American MIC companies. Rule number one, Ukrainian military company. You do not undercut the American MIC companies, because if you do, certain scandals might come to light. So $300 million was being discussed in some sort of a deal between, allegedly, some sort of a deal that was being worked out between Mindich and Umerov. The reports are now saying, the media is now saying out of Ukraine that this puts Zelensky in a very difficult position, this corruption scandal, which maybe encompasses FirePoint, allegedly encompasses FirePoint, that this corruption scandal could be a problem as Zelensky really pumps up Ukraine's drone manufacturing, including FirePoint, as one of the companies that can get a whole lot of money from the collective West and can manufacture all kinds of drones moving forward. So he's really pumping up the drone manufacturing, the drone facilities and the capabilities of Ukraine. And one of the big companies, of course, is FirePoint. And now you have this this corruption scandal popping up again, and it may leave Zelensky with no other choice than to nationalize some of these drone manufacturing companies, including Firepoint. At least that's what some Ukrainian media is saying. Anyway, sticking with the theme of war, unfortunately, we are at 60 days of the war against Iran, the U.S. full-scale, unprovoked invasion of Iran, attempted invasion of Iran. We're not quite at an invasion just yet. We have a blockade, which is an act of war. But with the 60 days, it means that we are at the end of Trump's war powers deadline. Today is the end of the 60-day war powers deadline. And according to ABC News, this leaves Trump with a couple of options, or two options, really. Trump and Congress. Option number one is that Congress can wind the war down. Option number two, they could decide to keep the war going. Option number three is contained in Pete Hegseth's statement to Congress yesterday, where Pete Hegseth said that there's a type of ceasefire, so Congress really doesn't have to do anything or really can't do anything with regards to the 60-day war powers deadline. According to ABC News, under the war powers resolution, the president is required to notify Congress that he has initiated military action within 48 hours of the start of operations. That kickstarts a 60-day clock in which the president is allowed to continue operations without needing an authorization from Congress. Once those 60 days are up, though, the president must either present a case to Congress that more time is needed to withdraw U.S. forces from the region or seek congressional approval to continue the operations. I don't think anything's going to happen. I think nothing's going to happen. Maybe Congress will discuss and debate and do stuff like that, more for political purposes, for the political optics of it all, at least where the Democrats are concerned. But nothing's going to happen. They're not going to tell the Trump administration to wind down the war. Not going to happen. They support the war. They just don't like Trump. The Democrats just don't like Trump, but they absolutely support the war. The USS Higgins had problems yesterday. This follows up on the USS Ford having to leave the region because it's all busted up and broken down. We now have the reports that a fire broke out on the USS Higgins and disabled the ship, causing a total power and propulsion loss. So that's another ship that's now out of the game, the USS Higgins. No need to worry, US Navy, because where your ships are breaking down, we have the reports that the UK is stepping up. And the UK is stepping up with a coalition, a naval coalition. This naval coalition is going to be called the JEF. The JEF. It's the JEF coalition, the Joint Expeditionary Force, that the UK is going to lead Britain to create joint naval force with 9 European countries as complement to NATO. UK stepping up big time. I don't know what ships the UK is going to provide, because I don't think the UK has any ships. But hey, they're putting together the coalition, and we got a whole lot of countries that are going to join up on this joint naval coalition. The only problem is that the U.S. ships are about going to war with Iran, continuing the blockade and ramping up conflict with Iran. This JEF coalition is all about going to war with Russia, so we got a bit of a problem here. But anyway, the countries that are going to participate in the UK's JEF are Denmark, Finland, Iceland, Norway, and Sweden, and of course, the Baltic states, Latvia, Lithuania, and Estonia. As the crisis in the Middle East unfolds following the U.S.-Israeli attack on Iran, the British naval chief insisted Europeans should not lose sight of the fact that Russia remains the gravest threat to our security. The naval force will be commanded from London and serve as a complement to NATO, according to Jenkins. It will see the fleets of the 10 nations training and preparing together to be ready to fight immediately if required, with real capabilities, real war plans, and real integration by 2029. There's that date. 2029, 2030, 2031. That's the magic date for a war with Russia. Mark it in your calendars. The collective West, the Europeans, that's the timeline they have for a smash with Russia. So the UK telling the United States, yeah, there's a war in Iran going on, and you got a blockade going on, but let's not lose sight of the fact that the number one enemy that we have to fight is not Iran, it's Russia. And so you have the Nordic countries and the Baltic Chihuahuas are on board, along with the UK. Germany is not listed in the this joint naval force. But Germany, BlackRock Mertz, is definitely pumping up his military for a conflict with Russia by 2030. And he's doing it all at the expense of the German population, the everyday German citizens, who are going to see their social benefits, their health care, their welfare, all of that is coming under austerity, and it's going to be cut. And whatever money that can be taken from the social system, from all of this austerity, will be funneled into the military-industrial complex. This was announced the other day. Germany's coalition government has agreed a sweeping package of welfare cuts worth $38.3 billion by 2030, stripping back the country's health system and pension guarantees to free up funds for military spending. BlackRock Mertz, by the way, he announced in his military fatigues. He was all dressed up in his military fatigues. He looked very silly. But he announced that Germany is ready to help open up the Strait of Hormuz, as per Daddy Trump's request. He's trying to get back on Trump's good side after the dust-up that they've been having over the past couple of days, announcing that Germany is ready to enter the Strait of Hormuz and open it up. But that's Germany. That's Merz dismantling the welfare system, the healthcare system of Germany, to the benefit of the military manufacturers. And all of this follows up on the $90 billion gift that was given to Le Gobelin Vert, for which Germany is on the hook for $20 billion of that $90 billion. And the reports are saying, check this out, reports claim that the $20 billion that Germany is on the hook for of the $90 billion is going to be sent from Germany directly to Ukraine. Yep, They're just going to transfer the money to Ukraine, and then a part of the money, a big chunk of the money, is then going to go right back to the military manufacturers, right? Oh, wow. What a grift, huh? Project Ukraine is morphing into Project War with Russia. And the numbers are getting bigger and bigger. And the debt is getting bigger and bigger of EU countries. And the social services are getting smaller and smaller. Something's got to break. Something's going to break. So we're getting reports that the United States is tapping into their petroleum reserve. Yep. The SPR is being tapped into at unprecedented levels. The U.S. is draining its oil reserves at a rapid pace. The Strategic Petroleum Reserve, the SPR, dropped minus 7.12 million barrels last week, the largest weekly drawdown since October 2022. This marks the fifth consecutive weekly decline, the longest streak since 2023. Over this period, U.S. oil reserves in the SPR have fallen minus 17 million barrels to 398 million, the lowest since April 2025. This comes as total U.S. oil and fuel exports surpassed 14 million barrels per day for the first time in history as overseas buyers scramble to replace lost Middle Eastern supply. So look, there's the argument, which is that the argument being made, which is that you tap into the SPR now that the price is very high and you make a whole ton of money. And then when all of this wraps up in a couple of months or a couple of years, who knows when, and the price goes back down again, that's when you refill the petroleum reserves. And there's a lot of analysts saying that this is a brilliant 10D chess move from the Trump administration. Of course, the other side to this argument is that you do not tap into the SPR. That's not the purpose of the SPR. The SPR is not there to make profits. It's not there to gamble away the U.S.'s petroleum reserve. That reserve is specifically there to protect the United States, to protect the U.S.'s national security and energy security. But countries are scrambling to find oil. And it does look like the Trump administration is having to tap into the SPR, has decided to tap into the SPR in order to get oil out into the markets. Of course, tapping into the SPR has not managed to keep the price of oil to under 100. The price of oil continues to rise over 120. So anyway, that's an interesting bit of news with the SPR. And let's talk about the EU digital app, the age verification app. And the EU is now putting pressure on member states to implement the freaking digital app, the age verification. Implement it now, even though the app has all kinds of problems. Very easily hacked. Very easy to hack. It has been hacked. But that's of no concern to our overlords in Brussels. They want some age verification on the internet, and they want it now. Breaking, the European Commission just told all 27 member states to hurry up with rolling out online age verification, demanding deployment before the end of 2026. Ask today how the system stops anyone bypassing it with a VPN from outside the EU. Vice President Virkkunen said only that it is an important part of the next steps. You see, you got to get that digital age verification up and running because it is an important part for the next steps. What are the next steps? I'm too afraid to ask. What are the next steps, Miss Virkkunen, Vice President Virkkunen? I think we know what the next steps are, which also fall into that 2030 timeline. That 2030 timeline. A lot of stuff is earmarked for 2030 in the collective West. Very important year, that 2030. Oh boy, the digital age verification app. The World Cup is coming up in a couple of months. And I've got an update on what is happening with Iran. According to the FIFA head honcho, the chief of FIFA, Mr. Infantino, Iran will be at the World Cup and play in the United States. That was his statement yesterday. How that's going to happen, I don't know. Because Trump is saying no way. Actually, Trump was asked by a reporter yesterday that Infantino said that Iran is going to play in the United States, the World Cup. And Trump actually said, okay, if Gianni Infantino says it, then I'm cool with it. So that was a weird comment from Trump. I don't think he quite understood the question from the reporter. But according to Infantino, Iran will be participating in the 2026 World Cup and will play in the United States. Of course, Iran will play in the United States of America, he said. And the reason for that is very simple, dear friends. It's because we have to unite. That's the reason. We have to unite. Okay. If we have to unite and Iran has to play in the United States and Trump is cool with it, will Iran be cool with it? I don't think so. I think Iran wants to play in the World Cup, will play in the World Cup, but you're going to have to move the venue to Mexico. That's the only way this thing is going to happen. But then again, who am I to question the FIFA head boss, Gianni Infantino? Infantino. Pretty cool name. All right, let's get to a clown world and we can wrap up this Friday video. I don't think I have any other news to get to for this clown world. We're going to go back to Stunning and Brave's comments from yesterday, the speech that she made yesterday, saying that the European Union should not humiliate itself by engaging in talks with Russia. She basically rejected any kind of dialogue and any talks with Russia. By the way, Fico, he made a statement about talking to Russia, following up on Stunning and Brave's comments, which got a lot of attention. And Fico said, you know what? I traveled to Russia. I met with Putin. I spoke with Putin. I believe Fico is also going to be at the May 9th Victory Day. Again, this year, he was there last year as well. But Fico's statement was that when he got back from speaking with Putin, all kinds of EU leaders were asking Fico, what did Putin say? What was he like? what comments did he make to you? What statements did he make to you? And Fico's reply to all of these EU leaders who he did not name, and their curiosity to see what Putin and Fico discussed. Fico's statement to them was, why don't you just fly to Moscow and talk to the man yourself? Well said, Mr. Fico. Winston Field, for sale and rent. Luxury sea view apartments. I don't know, Winston Field. I mean, the sea is over there. It's a great location, no doubt about it. I guess if you're on the very, very top floor, maybe you got a sea view. Maybe you got that view. That's nice. Very nice garden. What a beautiful gift. From Yorgos and Fatula Kranu. A gift to the city. It's beautiful. I like it. I like it a lot. Okay, so let's talk about Clown World. Good comment from Fico, by the way. The last leader of the European Union, the last leader left in Europe, Mr. Fico. Yep. And then there was one. So we go to Stunning and Brave, and she made her comment yesterday about not speaking to Russia and the EU not humiliating itself. And there was one person, one foreign minister, who was absolutely impressed with Stunning and Brave's comments, statements, and just general strength. And that EU diplomat is none other than Radoslaw Sikorski, the foreign minister of Poland, who posted on X, referencing Kaja Kallas's statement, her speech. Sikorski said, "I wish some men had her balls." Thank you, USA, Radoslaw Sikorski. The man who posted on X back when it was Twitter, 5 minutes after Nord Stream was blown up, who posted, "Thank you, USA," with a picture of the bubbly waters of the Baltic Sea after the Nord Stream explosion, courtesy of Freya, the erotic dancer, and her diving team, her Ukrainian diving team. Radoslaw Sikorski, envious of Kaja Kallas's cojones, the size of her cojones. Oh boy, they do live in a bubble, the European globalist elite, don't they? They very much live in their own Truman Show type of world. I am convinced that if you go to Brussels headquarters and you open up some of their ex feed, I bet you they remove all of the bad replies, for which there are many underneath their posts, and I'm convinced that Brussels fills it up with complimentary, encouraging statements and replies on their social media. I think everything's a bubble. Everything is a bubble. Everything's very controlled, and they live in their own little bubble world. And in this bubble world, they're awesome. They're the best. They're winning bigly. Everyone else is losing. They're the smartest people in the room. We remember what happened in the Truman Show, don't we? Did he ever escape? Did Jim Carrey's character ever escape? I think he got to the end of the dome, right? And he kind of walked out, or he tried to walk out. Anyway, I will end it there. We're almost at the beach. TheDuran.locals.com. We are on X and Telegram and Rumble. I really should say to like this video, share this video, subscribe, hit that hype button if you're watching this from your mobile device. I should say all of this at the beginning, but I never do because I always forget. I remember I used to say it in the beginning, and then everyone was getting mad at me, and everyone was saying, "Man, why, Alex, are you saying all of this in the beginning and wasting our time by saying this like, subscribe stuff?" So I just kind of forgot about it, but I should revisit that. It was helping the views of the channel a little bit. Anyway, we'll see. We'll see what I will do. I will catch everybody tomorrow. We have a special on the Duran shop on baseball caps, baseball hats. And anyone that has purchased our baseball hats knows that we have some really, really good, really nice baseball hats. Beautiful baseball hats, actually. So definitely visit the Duran shop and pick up a baseball hat for the summer. Maybe you can pick up an Isabella boat here in Limassol. take it out to the beach, enjoy life as the world falls apart. That's it for the video. If you want to stick with me, I'm going to walk over to the beach. But no more news. Check out Limassol. They've given us new streets. It was needed. Limassol needed new streets. Good on Limassol. A city that is constantly improving. A lot of people at the beach today, huh?